The most lucrative golf tournament in the world draws ire from one of the sport's biggest stars. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. We'll follow the money and growing outrage around a Saudi-backed golf tournament held here in the UK today, but first to a problem felt by nearly everyone on the planet, inflation. The European Central Bank is meeting today to put together the next phase in its plan to deal with red-hot price increases across the 19 Eurozone countries for which it sets policy. In the last year, consumer prices have jumped more than 8% to their highest ever level and well above the central bank's 2% target. Normally, this is when we'd expect rates to almost certainly rise, but don't expect it today. Karsten Breske, chief economist for ING in Germany, explains why.
The ECB is somehow stuck in its own narrative, and they always told financial markets that they will first stop the asset purchase program before they hike interest rates. And they haven't stopped the asset purchase program yet. This is what everyone expects them to announce today. And then sometime after, as the ECB always said, they will hike interest rates.
And you and I, Karsten, have talked exhaustively about the limits of monetary policy and what it can do to fight the kind of inflation that we're seeing now. But still, inflation is red hot. What is the ECB going to do? What can it do?
The ECB cannot end the lockdowns in Shanghai. The ECB cannot lower energy prices, or they can end the war in Ukraine. What the ECB can do, however, is that they can start normalizing monetary policy and that they can stop pouring more oil on the fire. And this means normalizing monetary policy. This does not mean tightening monetary policy.
So when will we expect rates to rise?
I still would not exclude entirely that we get a very small surprise today. But base case is that they will start hiking interest rates on the 21st of July.
And by how much?
Once they start hiking interest rates, they will really feel the red hot inflation in their neck, and they will have to hike interest rates by 50 basis points, which would mean an immediate end to this era of negative interest rates in the Eurozone.
50 basis points, half a percentage point. Karsten Breske, ING chief economist in Germany for us. Thanks so much for breaking this down.
You're welcome.
Well, as we check some other numbers now, European stock markets are losing ground ahead of that decision in just a couple of hours. The Stoxx 600 index is down about 0.4%, while bond yields across the Eurozone are also heading lower. Elsewhere, stocks across Asia ended their session lower, with the Shanghai Composite Index closing down about 0.7%. That's after authorities reimposed lockdowns in part of the city after just 4 new COVID infections were reported yesterday. A 2-day mandatory quarantine will be imposed on around 2 million people until they're all tested. That's in line with the government's zero COVID policy. But business groups have said such policies are forcing them to reconsider their presence in Shanghai. Well, Russia's war in Ukraine is continuing, and talks in Turkey yesterday with Russia to try to restart grain exports from Ukraine ended without a breakthrough. Ongoing fighting and sanctions have exacerbated, as we've been reporting, rising food and energy prices around the world. Now, the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization has been able to put an official number on the disruption, and the BBC's Imogen Folks reports. The findings are grim.
The poorest countries on the planet, many of whom depend on imports of wheat and vegetable oil from Ukraine, are paying more money for less food. Global food import costs are expected to reach a new record of $1.8 trillion this year, not because of increased imports, but because of higher prices. Many farmers in low-income countries can no longer afford Russian fertilizer. Their crops are much reduced. In Africa's Sahel region, where famine already threatens, UN aid agencies have had to cut rations. The money they have buys less food and less fuel to transport it.
That's the BBC's Imogen Folks reporting from Geneva there. Boatloads of cash. That, according to golf star Rory McIlroy, is the motivating factor for players participating in the inaugural LIV golf tournament starting today just outside London. He won't be playing, but other golf champions are reported to have been paid upwards of $200 million to play in the series. The BBC's Ross Atkins explains now there's growing controversy about how it's being largely funded with money from Saudi Arabia's public investment fund.
At the Centurion course in the south of England, some of the world's best players have gathered. And this is a series of 8 tournaments aimed, we're told, at giving players more freedom.
LIV Golf has given them the opportunity for another pathway to be the independent contractors, go play where they need to play, when they want to play, for more money.
Former world number one Greg Norman is the public face of LIV Golf. Its tournaments will last 54 holes, not the traditional 72. And former world number two Phil Mickelson has called that a progressive format. Progressive, though, isn't a word often used about Saudi Arabia, as its critics point out. And while freedom is being offered to golfers, it's not on offer to some Saudis. The US government says there are credible reports of forced disappearances, torture by government agents, executions for non-violent offences. It also notes that women continue to face discrimination and that there is arbitrary arrest and detention. And in the view of the Washington Post, what we're seeing is a government trying to use golf to cleanse its global reputation. Or Amnesty International says it's yet one more event in a series of sports washing exercises that the Saudi authorities are using to clean its blood-soaked image. And the BBC's Dan Rowan tried to raise these concerns with the governor of the Saudi Investment Fund.
It's the big thing in golf, and we're going to enjoy it. That's why I'm here. Yeah. I'm going to play the pro-am, and I'm going to have a lot of, hopefully, fun.
Can I just ask you very quickly about the suggestions of sports washing? What do you say to that? What's your response?
I'm really not sure about this terminology.
Mr. Rumer Yan said he'd look it up. Meanwhile, we still wait on a formal explanation of why Saudi Arabia is doing this. We do know it has a strategy to unfold new opportunities for non-oil GDP growth. That push to find revenue away from oil is real. Perhaps golf is part of that. Certainly, though, LIV Golf could be a force for good for those wanting to change how pro golf is organised. To take on that system, the Saudis are offering huge sums. This first event has prize money of $25 million. It's the most lucrative golf tournament in history. The winner takes $4 million. It's certainly a chance for the players' bank balances to grow and for Saudi Arabia to pursue its goals. For golf more broadly, we'll see.
That's the BBC's Roz Adkins reporting there. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.